Welcome to the Psychology World podcast with me, Connor Whiteley, psychology student and international best-selling psychology author of over 30 psychology books, bringing you the latest psychology news, fascinating psychology topics and more each week. If you want to learn more, then please check out connorwhiteley.net/books. And don't forget to like and subscribe to the YouTube video or follow on your favourite podcast app. And here's the show. Hi everyone and welcome to episode 244 of the Psychology World podcast with me, Connor Whiteley. And today's episode is on 3 red flags to avoid on a first date. So, because it's Christmas, so happy Christmas, happy holidays, Feliz Navidad, and I cannot remember how to say happy Christmas in French, even though I will need to find out in the next few days, because I want to be nice to a friend of mine. So, I thought this would be a really fun podcast episode for the holiday season, because maybe in 2024 you want to think about dating more, or maybe you're talking to someone like, right now. Basically, I did not want to do anything clinical psychology related. So I found this research and I'm thinking, yes, I want a nice short podcast episode that I can just do and it would be fun for the holiday season. So as soon as I found this, I was really, really happy. And it's the 21st of December 2023 as I record this. And this is the day that I'm batch recording the next few podcast episodes, just so I can have a nice winter break myself. So moving on to the psychology news section, and I have to admit there was a lot of debate about if I was going to do the psychology news section for the next 3 episodes, but I think I'm going to. So whilst this isn't this week's, because I'm actually waiting for that to appear in my inbox, we're reading from the British Psychological Society Research Digest. And this research digest is from the 26th of October, 2023. So the first one is, when do we support cyber vigilantes? Cyber vigilantism is on the rise, from YouTubers and TikTokers baiting scammers to police taking leads from online paedophile hunters. Most of us will be familiar with it in one form or another. However, whilst we can all recognise vigilante justice, we know less about beliefs and external factors that may drive someone to support such acts. In a recent paper published in Critical Justice Studies, Leanne Ireland of Monroe University explores the associations between different understandings and perceptions of justice and support for cyber vigilante. And whilst the BPS actually has a really good write-up on the website, there's just one paragraph that I want to read out. As you might expect, those who believe less in procedural justice were more likely to endorse cyber vigilantism. Ireland suggests that this is an issue of legitimacy. If someone feels state or authorities are legitimate, they are less likely to seek alternative methods of resolving conflict, as that, however, they support the state and have faith in procedural justice. Cyber vigilantism is likely to seem less necessary. So whilst there's a whole range of different factors that can actually make someone more likely to support cyber vigilantism, which I admit that word is becoming harder and harder to say like quite quickly because I've got a problem like with my right ear at the moment. Well, I still think that this is really an interesting topic to like look at, because to be honest, I didn't actually know that much about cyber vigilantism because I thought it was mainly just people in like the real physical world. But I guess that paedophile hunters, the people with that luring scammers, yeah, so that's all like vigilantes. So I didn't think that it will always be a wide range of like factors that can make someone likely to support it, because I think the people that target scammers, from everything I know about them, which is not a lot, so please don't quote me on this. Well, I think they're fine. I think that as you go to the more serious levels of offending, then I think that's when you might come up in some ethical issues. So interesting. I definitely recommend you read that BPS write-up. So the second one is, and this one's brilliant. Fictional power imbalances help kids grasp systemic injustices. In adults that buy into systematic inequalities, education on policies, procedures, or political discourses upholding said injustices has been shown to encourage people to fight against them, as well as predict lower levels of prejudice towards low status groups. For kids, however, wading into the mechanisms of the system is typically beyond their capabilities and interests, potentially leaving blossoming unjust beliefs unchallenged. However, new research described in PNAS reveals that there are effective ways to help children learn about power systems and the inequalities they cause. In fact, certain types of explanation even seem to increase their desire to rectify injustices. And this is something I've definitely learned in my master's level of program, because I did a social psychology module this year, which originally I was not in a press bag, but towards the end I was actually really enjoying it, because the social psychology master's students are really nice. They're actually brilliant. They're actually some of my favourites. But we definitely spoke a lot about power systems, the inequalities, systems justification theory. I still love that theory because it's so brilliant and it's so true. So that I think it's really quite interesting. But also, in the final year of my undergraduate degree, we did an applied psychology module, and this actually popped up when it came about the power of reading, the power of stories, not only to challenge unjust beliefs, but also to improve language development in children. So fiction, definitely important, definitely powerful. And I definitely think that if there's a way that we can get kids to recognise this, then I think that's going to be great. But what we need to do is that we need to make sure that if kids get interested in rectifying unjust powers, beliefs in their childhood, we need to make sure that they keep interested until, well, to be honest, even beyond adulthood. Just so they then, when they have the power, when they're old enough, and when they have more of an ability to challenge these, then they can, and they still want to. So, very interesting, and definitely some food for thought. So the final one is, loneliness makes fictional characters feel like friends. Okay. Far from just being passing connections, research shows that the beliefs, behaviours and attitudes of our favourite characters can influence our own, and that fictional people can give us a sense of belonging. Oh wow, that's interesting. Now though, a new brain scanning study finds that the gap between fictional connections and real ones may be even closer than we assume. This recently published paper suggests that lonely people process their favourite fictional characters similarly to real friends. Oh wow, now that's interesting. Interesting though. So I think this is definitely a real finding though, or this is definitely a finding that has a biological basis because of the brain scanning methodology. But wow, I think that's really interesting because in the case there's any newer podcast listeners listening to this, I'm also a fiction writer, so I know quite a lot about fictional characters, and I've created tons of them myself. But the idea that that fictional characters can make someone feel less lonely, I think is quite interesting. Yeah, wow. And to be honest, there's not a lot I can actually say about that, except the fact that I'm so shocked and I'm quite stunned. Really, really interesting. So I hope you enjoyed the psychology news section. So let's move on to the person update. So we're moving on to the person update. So this week I'm actually going to keep this a very short person update because I know that it's a Christmas day and lots of people probably want to crack on like with their Christmas stuff. To be honest, I will absolutely be shocked if anyone listens to this on like Christmas Day, because I don't think I'm going to listen to any of the normal Monday podcasts that I like listen to. So anyway though, so this week's have been really good. I've been finishing up tons of different projects because I love this week. The week before Christmas for me is the sort of, oh my god, I've got so much to do before the end of the year, and I just have a blast because I'm so productive, I get so many projects done, and I'm just really, really happy. Life is brilliant. And then I've also been doing my statistics revision, and to be honest, I've spoken on the podcast before about how many problems we've been having with our statistics lecturer. So I'm actually not ashamed to say that I've sort of been relearning the basics, because something that our brilliant module convener's doing, that she's a brilliant like woman, and I've got a lot of time like for her because she's so nice. What she's done is that she gave us a sort of like mock exam with 53 questions. So I did it as a baseline just to see how bad my statistics knowledge was, and then I'll redo it after my revision about mid-January, just so I can see how much I've been improved. I was going through the questions I got wrong, and I mean, like, some of them were basic. For example, I'm not ashamed to admit this, but basically it was only 2 days ago I learned the difference between ordinal data and nominal data. Yes, that's how bad my statistic knowledge is, and that's actually quite embarrassing to admit. But anyway though, I'm not going to edit it out. So lots of like statistics revision, and I really am looking forward to the holiday season. Spending time with like friends and family, opening the presents, and eating a lot of great food. So really am excited, and I really hope that all of you have a wonderful holiday season too, wherever you are in the world. And as always, I always love to hear your thoughts and feelings on today's episode. So you can always email me, ConnorWhiteley@ConnorWhiteley.net. You can always leave a comment at the show notes at ConnorWhiteley.net/podcast. And you can always tweet me on Twitter at SciFiWhiteley. I always love to hear from all of you, because it really helps make the podcast feel more like a conversation. And you can always leave a comment on the Facebook post at Connor Whiteley, psychology author. So today's podcast episode has been sponsored by Psychology of Relationships, so the social psychology of friendships, romantic relationships, and more. So this is a great sponsor for today's episode, because we're looking at first dates, romantic relationships, and all of that wonderful and quite joyous stuff. And this book actually sort of builds upon today's episode in terms of what are the biological, social, and the psychological causes of relationships, be them friendships or even romantic relationships. It also talks about communication, which is flat out critical, and I always get quite a few comments about that, because let's face it, communication in relationships is always a bit of a pain. So knowing the research behind it can actually be really, really useful, and it's actually quite a lot of fun. Then it also talks about the theories of sexuality, homosexuality, and like why they occur. And then we also do a talk about bystanderism, altruism, and a whole lot of other really great pro-social behaviour topics. So I love this book. It's a lot of fun. I always like recommending it to people, because it's just quite joyous though, especially because this podcast, and because my background is mainly clinical psychology focused, it's just so nice to actually focus on something quite joyous like relationships from time to time. And P.S. it actually makes a great Christmas present, especially if you've been a bit late on getting one. I don't know. I just wanted to throw that in there. So that is the psychology of relationships, the social psychology of friendships, romantic relationships, and more. Available from all major ebook retailers, and you can order the paperback and hardback version from Amazon, your local bookstore, or local library if you request it. Several Whilst Buying Books helps us to support the creation and the editing of the podcast. My time is sponsored by my wonderful patrons. And as always, a massive thank you to my patrons, because your support shows that you like the show and you want it to continue. So if you want to become a patron of the show and get tons of great rewards, then you can at patreon.com/thepsychologywhilepodcast. Or you can buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/ConnorWhiteley. So that's enough of the personal update. Let's move on to the content part of today's episode. So we're moving on to the content part of today's episode. So we're going to be talking about 3 red flags to avoid on a first date. It's a really fun topic and I'm really looking forward to this. So let's dive into it. I know in society there is a lot of pressure put on the first date, and I originally saved a whole bunch of these research articles because I was going to ask out a friend of mine, and me being the very upbeat person that I am, thought that they were going to say yes. They didn't, but we're still like great friends. But as it's the holiday season, I wanted to use this as research because let's face it, the first date is very important. Since the first date allows you to explore any attraction you both feel, what sort of romantic connection you have, and you will get to see if you actually like each other as much as you think you do. Therefore, it's important to look at these red flags that you should avoid on a first date, because the first date is important and you don't want to put up any obstacles in your way to finding that connection and a romantic spark, so to speak. Also, if a romantic partner does do these things, then these behaviours can create anxiety, discomfort and insecurity, which, let's face it, is a great way to kill a perfectly romantic date. Beware a project developer. So I really didn't understand this type of a person when I first came across it, but looking into it more, I seriously understand why you don't want to date these people. A project developer is when someone sees you as a project and they want to help you develop yourself to your full potential. For example, your partner might make a compliment about your potential that makes you feel great. This could be about your appearance, and your date then starts talking about how you can modify and upgrade and update your appearance so you can look even younger and more professional. The problem with these compliments is they can get old, because people want to feel like an equal and something that is liked and valued for being themselves. And even if someone is a project, no one wants to feel like a fixer-upper. Well, that just makes people feel awful about themselves. In addition, if you're with a date that has a build your own partner mentality, then this is a waste of time, because you should be appreciated for you. Of course, no one is a perfect, and I'm seriously not myself, but even I wouldn't want to be seen as a project that needs fixing. I want someone to value me for me, help me work on the stuff that I want to work on, and I just want to have fun with them. To me, a relationship is about love, being an equal, and just having fun, not about fixing problems. Don't live in the past. Now, this one I think is very interesting, because I do think a lot of people live in the past, and up till recently, I was the same. Anyway, Cohen, 2016, got 390 many heterosexual participants to fill out a survey to shed some light on people's perceptions of first dates. Cohen found that women saw their date talking about a past relationship, then this was a sign of disinterest. And this reinforces another finding of Cohen's research, that women prefer conversations to be focused on themselves. Additionally, this finding wasn't just exclusive for women, because men didn't like their dates talking about past partners either. Try saying that fast. This is important to realise, because we all just need to remember that first dates are not rebound counselling sessions, as well as if you wear or model your appearance after what an ex gave you, why would you point this out to your date? This is hardly going to signal to them that you're over them and that you're ready to move on, and you're hardly interested in your current date. I just don't think that you should mention this whatsoever, because if you talk about your exes, then two things will happen. It will tell your date that you aren't interested in them, but it also implies that you might still be involved with them to some extent. And even worse, you're just insensitive to their feelings, and this can make you a horrible person in their eyes. No one wants that for you. Don't cross boundaries, nor invade their space. I admit that even though I've never been on a date, this question of boundaries is always a very fun topic for me, because there are times when I can be seriously bad at them. As well as, I think for certain people, boundaries can be a massive learning curve, but saying that, everyone does need to learn each other's boundaries after a while. Anyway, one of the aims of first dates are to create and foster a sense of a chemistry between the 2 days, and this is partly done through selecting the right setting. Therefore, if a date chooses a wrong setting that is more formal and business-like, then this will definitely send the wrong signals, as a formal setting implies a professional meeting, not a fun romantic date. Also, the setting of a first date is meant to allow the date to feel comfortable and you two to have an easy conversation without being too familiar. Personally, this is why I flat out hate pubs with a passion, and clubs I hate too, because they're too loud, they aren't the sort of place where you can have easy conversations, which is why I prefer restaurants and other quieter places. On the whole, when it comes to choosing a place for a first date, make sure you would choose somewhere that has a lot of personal space, since you don't want to choose somewhere where you'll be invading the personal space between you and your date, because they won't appreciate that at all. You don't want to be crammed next to each other, or in a booth that is way too small, because you're both just exploring your new relationship, and if you actually have a connection. If this does happen, then invading each other's space will create a lot of anxiety and discomfort for you both, which definitely won't help you but create a sense of connectedness. Conclusion. So at the end of this podcast episode, first dates have always been portrayed as fun, magical, and really exciting things that can open the doors to love, magic, and having a lot of fun. And they can be. Yet, there are plenty of errors and mistakes that you can make on a first date could affect your chances of getting a sense of connectedness. Sometimes, you will go on a first date that ends awfully, because you and the date just weren't right for each other, but other times, you will go out on dates with great people. Just avoid these red flags to prevent your first date going wrong for no reason, because 2024 might be your year for dating and exploring and having romantic fun. So I hope this podcast episode helped you learn a little more about the wonderfully fun, chaotic, and even harsh world of dating. So I really hope that you enjoyed today's episode and you got something out of it. I thought this would just be a really fun podcast episode to do during the holiday season. So if you know someone who enjoyed today's episode, then please share it with them. I'm always really grateful when you wonderful people help spread the word about the podcast. And if you want to learn more, definitely check out Psychology of Relationships, The Social Psychology of Friendships, Romantic Relationships and more, available in all the usual places. So happy Christmas, happy holidays, and I really hope that all of you have a brilliant festive break. So have a great day, everyone, and I'll see you next time. Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. Please remember to like the video and subscribe to the YouTube channel and follow the podcast on your favourite podcast app. And if you wanted to learn more, then please check out the backlist of the podcast episodes or my books at conwhiteley.net. So have a great day and I'll see you next time.